There are some perplexing things in the Gospel today. We have certainly seen the famous paintings of Jesus and John the Baptist playing together as children with Mary and Elizabeth around. And we had kind of the understanding that they are related to one another. And so when John the Baptist, who is the one who leapt in his mother's womb for joy when he encountered the Messiah, the Ark of the Old Covenant carrying the Prophet, the Ark of the New Covenant carrying the Messiah, and then the one also who recognized him at Jordan as the Lamb of God, who baptized him and heard the voice of the Father. Now, after all of that, we hear that he is unsettled, that he has a question, that things are not exactly peaceful and settled with him. And so we say to ourselves, this sounds very strange to us. But really, we have no idea if John and Jesus personally knew each other. Certainly they were related, but they lived far apart. And we've seen before in the story of the Baptist that most probably as a young boy, he was set off into the desert to study and to learn the prophets, along with the Essenes of the Qumran community. And they may never really have ever seen each other. And yet, at the same time, they met at the Jordan and John acknowledged him. So what is John's problem? Why does he question? And if we go back to the prophecies, for he was the master of the prophecies of Isaiah, we go back and we hear this promise of the day of the Lord. We heard it actually in the Gospel today, and Jesus is to use that. We've heard it before, the great mountain of the Lord, where all things are peaceful, where all things are plentiful. There was an expectation through the prophecies that when the day of the Lord came, that all things would be instantaneously changed, that as a matter of fact, the evil would be wiped away. And here John was languishing in prison because he had dared to contend the illicit marriage of Herod and Herodias, Herodias who was Herod's brother's wife. And so her hatred for him threw him into prison, and her continued hatred made her exploit her own young daughter in order that she might murder him. John knows and sees all this and says, how can this be the day of the Lord? How can the Messiah be here if these questions persist, if this world persists in its ugliness and its darkness? And Jesus says then, very calmly, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed them. Right out of the first reading today of the prophecies of Isaiah. He says, go back and quote Isaiah from what your own eyes and ears have heard and seen, and tell him to be peaceful. For the age of the Messiah has come, and the prophecy is being fulfilled. The prophets saw the glory of the Lord, but through a glass darkly, as Paul would say. For the light had not yet risen in the east, the sun had not yet come, the Messiah was not yet here for them to interpret their prophecies for them. Here, Jesus interprets the prophecies of Isaiah for John in prison. And then he goes on to say, well, what did you go out in the desert to see? You had crowds going out, what for? To see a reed swayed by the wind? To go out and have someone tell you only what you want to hear? To go out and hear someone tell you to, you know, something that makes you feel good about yourselves? Who would bother? You can do that at home. Who would bother to go out into the desert to seek that kind of affirmation of what they thought, of what they wanted to hear? Did you go out to see someone and find, did you go out to see a celebrity? Actually is what he asks them. The implication being, you know, you want to see a celebrity, there's celebrities around. You don't have to walk out into the desert. You don't have to go out into the middle of nowhere seeking some kind of a celebrity. So what did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet. And he says, yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. For this is the one about whom it is written, behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, he will prepare your way for you. You have gone out to see the greatest of the prophets. You have gone out to see the prophet who is the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. And then he says something strange also. And then I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. How could he compliment him so greatly on one hand and demean him on the other? He's showing the contrast between the prophecies and the fulfillment of prophecy. John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. He is the one above all others who witnessed to the actual coming of the Messiah, and therefore there is none greater than he. But those who with Jesus Christ enter into the eternal kingdom, they are the greatest of all. For they are united with Christ, and they are drawn into the dynamic of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit for all eternity. Nothing is greater than that. So we look at this, and we hear this, and we see, well, yes, the gospel does make sense. No, it isn't such a contradiction. But then we look and we see kind of overlay this in our life and our world today. How often do we hear, well, if there really were a God, then why would there be sickness? Why would there be death? Why would there be wars? Why would there be famine? Why would there be the rampant corruption that we see everywhere around us? Why would that happen? Obviously, God is either powerless or he does not exist. A conclusion of a huge section of our society. And to them, the Lord says to us, go and tell them what you hear and what you see. Go and tell them you have seen the fulfillment of the prophecies. You have seen the coming of the Messiah. Throughout the century, throughout the millennia, who is it who has developed education and health care? Who is it who brought out of the barbarism a civilization of civil justice which was not based on revenge? Who was it who brought about, in other words, a humanitarian edge to the peoples of the world? And the answer is, it is the people of the Messiah. It is the church which has done that. Broken, corrupt, weak as she might be, she has struggled on as dusty pilgrimage in the desert, as one of the authors has said, one who struggles along through the deserts of our world and the deserts of our hearts, carrying within it the presence of the living God. The one who comes to us in the Blessed Eucharist, the one who comes to us in our hearts, transforms us, converts us, offers us hope, meaning, understanding. Go and tell what you have heard and what you have seen. And say that the prophecies are being fulfilled. What began with the birth of Christ ends ultimately in his return. The journey is a difficult journey. The journey is one fraught with human weakness and human sinfulness and human ignorance and arrogance. But it is a journey nonetheless, in time, through the deserts of our cultures and our world. Go and tell what you've heard and what you've seen. Have you ever seen a cure? Have you ever seen a conversion? Have you ever seen a reconciliation? Have you ever seen true justice done? Have you ever really seen somehow or other learning great things? Have you ever really seen that the great care and compassion of human beings for one another? So what do we look for? Do we look for someone who simply affirms us and does not challenge us? Do we look for some celebrity characters who are going to somehow or other make everything all right but never do? What are we looking for? What do we seek? The question remains, it remains deep, deep, deep in the heart of faith. What do we seek? We seek the living God. We seek the one who gives meaning and purpose and understanding to life itself, including our own. We seek the one who begins slowly through the ages to transform the world in preparation for the coming of the Christ. This morning, on this gospel, we might want to read it during the week. We might want to reflect on it, pray over it during the week, and place ourselves, for instance, deep in the center of this gospel. Ask the questions that John asked, because we all have them. Listen to the response of the living God. And then check out our own motives and intentions. What is this all about for us? What does it mean for us? And what do we mean in the midst of our world? The answer lies with the Creator and Redeemer. The answer lies in the Blessed Eucharist that comes forth into each of our hearts. The answer lies in the great mystery of the promise that has been awaited since God first revealed himself to his people.